of the church series, and we're going to speak on fathers today. And so happy Father's Day to all of you guys out there who are fathers. So I want to challenge my dads in the room. And so in doing that, I understand I'm challenging myself also. And so in doing that, I just want to talk about what it means to maybe be a father of hope and not a father of discouragement. And so growing up, I used to play baseball. And so I grew up playing baseball my entire life. And in playing baseball, I always played baseball with my friends. And a lot of my friends went to church with me. And so I played baseball with a lot of people I went to church with and so forth. I grew up with a friend whose dad always coached him. And I remember being on the baseball field. I never actually played on his team. But when we played against him, I always remember it never failed. And there were probably times where this didn't happen, but it felt like every time we played them, him and his dad would get into some type of an argument. They would start yelling at each other. They would just start being angry with each other. And I just remember every time it ended in my friend crying, and then it just ended all badly all the time. And I always remembered my friend being discouraged, always kind of being sullen in a sense when he was playing sports. He never really played sports with a joy. And I think a lot of it had to do with kind of his interaction with his dad throughout playing baseball. You know, and looking back, I see this a lot in kids. I see this a lot in especially dads and boys and stuff like that, especially with sports. A lot of times parents try to relive their childhood through their kids and try to push their kids really hard to be something great in a sport, or maybe it's in something specific other than a sport. But in doing that, always looking back on it now, I just think about what their view of God is now. How has the way that parents or fathers have treated their children reflected back on how they view their Heavenly Father? Because God is the pattern for fatherhood for us. The reason why God created fatherhood and for fathers to parent their children was so that their children could in turn see a reflection, albeit imperfect reflection, a reflection of their Heavenly Father. And so the question for us today is, the question for our fathers today, what image are we giving our children? What image are we putting off to our kids? Because what image the fathers are putting off is the image by which they're going to start to develop their thoughts of God. And that's a huge challenge for us. That's a huge responsibility for dads in this room. Because what you do reflects back on your Heavenly Father to your children. And I don't know about you, but that's a massive weight of pressure, it feels like, for me. To live in a way to where the way I parent my children, that my children can see my Heavenly Father in. That's a huge responsibility. And honestly, it kind of takes your breath away for a second just to think about that. And in it, I pray that through my parenting and through maybe your fatherhood, children will see the strength, but yet the tenderness of our Heavenly Father. I pray that they'll see His wrath, but yet His mercy. And I pray that they'll see His wisdom and His guidance. And through all that, I pray that our children, through fatherhood, will be able to see a picture of their Heavenly Father through you, albeit it may be an imperfect picture. Now, unfortunately, not everyone will understand God as Father. John 8:42-44 says this, "If God were your Father, you would have loved me, for I proceeded and came forth from God. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires." And so what we see here is what Jesus is saying is not everyone understands God as Father. They don't see Him as Father, because if you're not following Christ, then God is not technically your Father. Your Father is something else. And so what I want us to understand today is the important role that a father plays in children's lives. That your role is to reflect imperfect reflection of your Heavenly Father, so that your children can form an image, a correct image of what their Heavenly Father looks like. Now, if you're here today and you grew up in a house to where your father may have not been present, maybe you had a rough childhood with your father, Or maybe you're growing up and maybe you just feel the sadness of maybe a relationship that you had with your father. I want you to know today that the sadness that comes with that type of relationship with your father, or maybe that relationship that you have with your children now, can be swallowed up and overcome with joy this morning, knowing that your heavenly Father is extending an invitation to you to be adopted into His family. And that in that adoption, we can see who our heavenly Father is, and that we can start to mimic our heavenly Father in the way that we should parent and treat our children. And so read with me Colossians 3:21, just one verse today. And read with me, and let's see what this scripture says, this passage says for us. It says, "Father, do not exasperate your children, or do not provoke your children, so they won't become discouraged." So let me pray with us as we go into this text. Father, I know the job that you've placed before all fathers is daunting, and it's a lot, Father. But Father, I pray that we as fathers will embrace this challenge and this in the job before us, and Lord, that we will want our children to see what their heavenly Father is like, and through the way that we love, by the way that we parent, by what we give their hope and what we put their confidence in, that Father, that we will guide and shepherd their hearts to where they will have hope and to not be discouraged. I ask this in your name. Amen. Now, in this is kind of a negative command. So Paul's telling us what not to do. He's saying, don't discourage your children, or do not provoke your children. And in verse 20, before that, he says, children, obey your parents. Now, this is basically, these two verses are very much closely related. So in this, it's saying, parents, you have a great authority over your children because your children are supposed to obey what you say. But with great authority comes great responsibility with you as a parent. So you know that your children are supposed to obey you and they're supposed to be obedient to you. But in the same context, we need to be careful how we express and how we put that authority over them. Because how we do that either can lead to discouragement or can lead to hope. And what Paul is saying, what you do not want to do is that you don't want to lead and you don't want to parent and you don't want to father in a way that will lead your kid to discouragement. You don't want to provoke your children. Now, what we see here is that Paul is using this word provoke. Now, it's actually a very broad term. Like, it can mean a lot of different things. But what we are seeing here is that instead of provoking your children to discouragement, what we want to do as fathers is to engage and encourage our kids in hope and in confidence in the Lord. Now, this requires tremendous wisdom from fathers, because not all short-term discouragements will lead to long-term things. Sometimes your children need to have some type of short-term discouragement so that that's a part of parenting, so that they'll learn and that they'll grow and that they'll mature. But this requires great wisdom to know what you need to exercise your authority over and what will lead to just a little short-term discouragement or what will lead to long-term discouragement for your children. And in preaching here today, I want you to hear me. I don't have this figured out, okay? I don't have the answer to all these questions, okay? I'm just giving you what the Bible is telling us. And together as fathers, I pray that we can just take what the Bible is teaching us and we can go forward in this. So I'm not standing up here as an expert on fatherhood by any means whatsoever. But I do think there are some principles that we can take from this passage. And so what I want us to go through, I have two things here on what fathers potentially could do to provoke their children to maybe long-term discouragement. And here's two things. I think the first thing that we see is that there's a failure to be happy and to be hopeful in God. Fathers, what you are in relation to God is far more important than any child activity or any type of parenting technique that you can employ. Your relationship with God is vitally important to your children, because what you put your hope, what you put your happiness, what you put your confidence in, your children will see that. Your children will see what you find your hope, what you will find your confidence in. Your children will see if you find your happiness in your hobby or fishing or whatever it may be before God. Your children will see that. They'll see if your confidence is in your money or if your confidence is in your job rather than God. Your children will see that. These things are long-term, can be long-term discouragements for your children in placing their hopes and their confidence in God. The most important factor that a father can do for their children is to be a born-again believer pursuing God. That's the most important thing fathers can give to their children, is your personal holiness. It's pursuing God and pursuing your own holiness so that your children can see that in your life. And so that you can show them personally that your hope is in Christ, that your confidence in Christ, and that nothing else is replacing that. Now, we're taught throughout Scripture to imitate our Father. In 1 Peter 1:16, it says to be holy, for God is holy. In Luke 6:36, Jesus tells us to be merciful because God is merciful. You know, a good child copies their daddy. That's what a good child does. And a good child of God will copy his daddy also. We want to copy our Heavenly Father so that in turn, as we're copying our Heavenly Father, then in turn, our children are copying us, which should be copying our Heavenly Father. Then as they begin to mature in their faith, their copying you just turns into them copying their Heavenly Father and living for Him and doing what He does. And so these are one of the first things I think that fathers may fail in as far as maybe leading to long-term discouragements, that they, in their own lives, they find their happiness, they find their confidence in things other than God, and their children see that, and so they find, your children end up finding their happiness and their confidence in other things other than God. The second thing that I think that fathers may do is discipline in an impulsive or erratic or inconsistent way. One of the things that I know that's hard for children like boundaries and they like consistency. Children like that. And so when you may be disciplined in an unpredictable, maybe hostile way, your children then become bitter, they become deceitful, and they become discouraged. They don't know when the next explosion, or they don't know if they're going to get punished for something little or for something big and so forth. And they start to think, well, if I get punished for doing good things with bad things, then why not just continue to do the bad things? And that's why children need boundaries, because within the boundaries that they set and within the boundaries of their discipline, they find security in those boundaries. And once they find security within who you are and their relationship with you, then they're going to find security in the way that God deals with them also. Because God, there is times where God does punish His children, and if there's consistency in the way that you discipline your children, but it's yet not hostile, and it's not erratic, and it's not inconsistent, but it's consistent and loving in the way that you discipline, then they're going to view their Heavenly Father in that same way by the way that you're disciplining your children. Now, on the other hand, we want to make sure that our discipline is controlled, that our discipline is appropriate and consistent with clear rules so that they can see their Heavenly Father. See, they gain confidence that this is the way of God, that He's not an inconsistent God, that He just doesn't fly off the handle, but yet He has order, He has purpose, and everything that He does in a loving fashion. That God's punishment to us isn't just because He's angry at us, but actually He punishes us because He loves us. And so when they see that from their Father, they have a better understanding of their relationship with their Heavenly Father. So, fathers, I think we want to make sure that our happiness and our confidence is coming from God, but also in the way that we're disciplining our children, we want to make sure that we're disciplining them in a way to where they can see their Heavenly Father also. Now, the goal of the father is not to provoke your children, which is what we just basically talked about. We don't want to provoke them to long-term discouragement. But the goal, that's basically the goal of every father, right? That you don't want your children losing heart. You don't want them spiritless. You don't want them discouraged. You don't want them sullen. Don't be the kind of father that creates this type of child. You know, instead, develop a fatherhood that practices loving your children and producing the opposite of discouragement. So the question then is, well, what's the opposite of discouragement? What should it look like if fatherhood is going well? Well, it should look like that your kids are courageous, that they're confident, that they're happy, that they're hopeful. So I would say that verse 21, even though it's a negative command, it has a positive outworking. You don't want to provoke your children to discouragement, but you want to place hope in them so that they'll be courageous for God in what they're doing. So if we stopped right there, we really, if we just said, well, you don't want your children to be discouraged. You just want them to be happy. You just want them to be courageous. You just want them to be confident. Now, in and that of itself is not necessarily Christian, right? Because there's not a parent in this country that would probably say, yeah, I want to discourage my children. Every parent in the country would say, yeah, I want my children to be happy. I want to be hopeful. I want to be confident. But I think what Paul is getting at here is what that is all built up in. Because reality is that we can build children's confidence and we can build their hope in a lot of different things. You know, I can build up confidence in whether or not they're good at sports. You know, I can build their confidence on whether or not they're good at dance or maybe good at school. Like, I can build their confidence up in those things and they can rely on those things as children. But I don't think that's what Paul is getting at here. I don't think that's where he wants their hope and their confidence to be put in. You know, I would say that their hope and their confidence would want to be in God and God alone, that's where they find their hope in, that they hope knowing that God is a loving Father and that everything that He's doing is working out for the good for His kingdom, and they're a part of that kingdom, so no matter what trials that they face in this life, that God is a good God and He loves them. And they're confident in their relationship with Christ. They don't go throughout each and every day wondering if their Heavenly Father is going to love them, but they're confident in their love for Jesus and His love for them. You know, now, I think we can take this too far on one end of the spectrum because we don't want our kids to be discouraged, but we can go on the other end of the spectrum and say we want to do whatever it takes for them to be happy. You know, so we want to kind of give them excess so that they can be happy, and we'll give them whatever they want so that they'll just feel happy. You know, and this actually doesn't lead to happiness. It can lead to actual discouragement because you're doing so much just for your children to be happy with the stuff of life that actually you're discouraging them for later in life because they're going to be very discouraged when life happens and they don't get everything that they used to get as a child. You're not setting them up for success later in life. Now, I don't think Paul or God had this in mind for this passage. I think what they wanted to see is that they wanted their hope to be found in the Creator and not in the creation. That you don't want to build the kids' hope and confidence up in the things that God created, but you want to build their hope up in the one who created everything. And so we want to build our confidence up in the Creator, not the creation. And so don't discourage your children, but make them happy in God by helping them hope in God. Place their hope and their confidence in God and teach them what it looks like to be hopeful and to be confident in their relationship with God. When you consider confidence as the opposite of discouragement, then let's be careful what we build their confidence in. Don't build their confidence in anything other than their relationship with God and nothing else other than who they are in God. Because when they start to fall back and when they start to place all their weight in their life on the things of this world, it will crumble beneath them. But if their foundation is God and if their hope and their confidence in God, when everything else around them may crumble, and they're still their foundation that they're leaning upon, and they can sustain it through those troubles because their foundation is found in God and not in the things of this world. You know, that's what happened with Paul when he went to Corinth. God came to him and Paul and said, "Do not be afraid, but speak and do not be silent, for I am with you." So Paul's confidence is not a self-confidence in that he'll do a good job, but his confidence was coming from who was with him when he was going to Corinth. His confidence was that God was with him. And so we don't want to build up self-confidence in our children. We want to build up confidence in God, knowing that wherever they go, that their Heavenly Father is with them, and they can have confidence that He will give them everything that they need and to sustain them in whatever God places before them. He is with them. So the goal of kind of biblical fatherhood and what we see here in this passage is that we don't want to provoke our children to discouragement. There may be times of short-term discouragement that we want for our children as fathers, because that will naturally lead to maybe a better footing for faith. But there's great wisdom needed in knowing what things will lead to long-term discouragement for our children and will give them a poor representation of our Heavenly Father. Because as fathers, we want to be the reflection of our Heavenly Father to our children. So here's some questions that we can ask ourselves in whether or not we are being a good father, or questions to improve our fatherhood. How can I be like my Heavenly Father so that my children can see a glimpse of God through me? How can I teach my child to find their confidence in God alone? How can I help them find their happiness in God and not in the things of this world? So the challenge for us as fathers today is, as we go from here, how can we challenge our children and parent and guide our children in a way that we're reflecting our Heavenly Father and that they're seeing their Heavenly Father through what we're doing as fathers? It's a huge challenge for us. It's not easy. It's a daunting challenge, to be honest with you, because what we do reflects our Heavenly Father. And God placed fathers in this role so that they could reflect reflect God to their children. And if you're here today and you may have had a bad relationship with your dad, I want to encourage you to know today that you have a Heavenly Father that loves you so much. And just know that the poor reflection that your dad may have shown you, don't let that discourage you from what your Heavenly Father is to you today. He is so much greater and so much loving. Now, if you're a father here today and you may be saying, Danny, like, man, I've messed up. Like, I've probably discouraged my children. Here's what I want you to hear today, that God's grace is greater. There is never anything that you can't have done that God can't undo. Now, it may take time. I'm not saying that it will be an overnight fix. But what I am saying is that His grace is greater, and that He can guide and lead you from this point forward to be the father that He has called you to be. So don't lose heart, but be encouraged to know that you have a Heavenly Father greater than any mistakes that we've ever made. And just know that He's guiding you, that you're not in this alone, that He's guiding you and leading you in how you should parent your child, that it's not left up to your wisdom. Thank God for that, right? You know, it's not up to my wisdom. Because my kids would be very messed up if it was just up to me. And so just know that we have a Heavenly Father guiding us and leading us, so that at any time that we need wisdom that's beyond any part of our experience, we have a Heavenly Father willing to give it to us and guide us to know what to do and how to love and to guide and to parent our children. Let me pray for us today. Father, I'm thankful that You're the best Father in the world. That, Father, that You guide and that You lead us. And that, Father, You gave us the privilege of being fathers here today. But, Father, in that task, that You didn't leave us alone in that. But, Father, You have set an example for us that we can go to Your Word and see how You love and parent us as Your children. And that's the model that we want to display to our children so that they can see You. Father, as we're here, I pray that fathers will just make a note, and Lord, Lord, that they will just give their life to what it means to be a biblical father and what it means to love their children in a way that You love us. So, Father, I pray that as the fathers here, that we'll make a commitment to live in that way and to parent in that way. And we ask this in Your name. Amen.